unprofessional am I to say, so, Jorge, what is the out time?
Well,
and by the way, I missed it altogether.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not even the story. You asked for the out time, and then you just ignored it. And then when I said, so you just ignored the out time, you went, oh, no one cares about the out time. Yes, you clearly are bipolar.
I think the out time should be a general guideline. It's sort of like the play clock in an NFL game. You know how they call that just a guideline?
That's not
true. The out time should just be a guide. Let's wrap up at about 3:52, right?
No, that's
not true.
It
doesn't have to be exactly.
If you go past the play clock, you get a 5-yard penalty, which is what you got yesterday.
If you read the book, it says it's a guideline. It's a guideline. It is not a guaranteed penalty.
See how that goes for you if you go past the
play clock. Yeah, I think we should
give
institute
a
buzzer.
Yeah, we'll give you a buzzer.
Yeah, you give me a buzzer. Because you guys say, okay, we're out at 52:30. I'm like, I'm not counting seconds. I'm not like, this is not like NASA.
Time.
I'm not
right.
counting down to blast
No,
off.
So here's what we do. The buzzer is going to go every day at 52:30. If you're talking right at 52:30, anybody, me, Lindsay, Jorge, Mason, no. $2,000 mythical money fine.
Ooh. No!
Nice. Mason's competitive. That'll make him hit the time.
Yeah, I'm going to go short.
No,
I'm going to say, okay, that's it for me. John, what do you got?
Especially because you asked for the out time during the break and during the segment, apparently.
Yeah. All right.
I'll walk right up to it like an old AM DJ.
Yeah,
Rick
I used to be able to
the fair the hard on the cue.
I used to be able to hit a vocal like crazy.
Hit
Here's
the post.
Rick Astley. You got to be a strong, strong man on WTQ, the Z.
WTQ, the Z?
They got some songs that have like the double post, like that Huey Lewis in the new song.
That's
a
great one.
Post.
Harder Rock and Roll?
It's tricky, yeah.
Harder Rock and Roll is a great post.
I
remember those things. When I was a DJ and I was just starting, I was working in Toledo, Ohio at a 93Q WRQN. And somebody called. It was my very first night. I'd never been a DJ before. I lied my way into the job. They said, you know how to run the board, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I had no friggin' clue. So I get in there that night, and somebody in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. or something like that calls me and says on the request line, play Huey Lewis in the News, Heart of Rock and Roll, or I'll blow up the station. And I stopped Stevie Nicks, who was playing right there. Stevie Nicks, stand back. Just stopped that and immediately put the cart in for – I'm like, that's my first night. I don't want to be here when the station gets blown up. So I immediately put on Huey Lewis in the News. A courageous man.
I got to be – my first shift at the UCLA campus station was 3 to 5 a.m. on Thursday mornings. That's
nice.
The shift they gave me as a freshman.
Golden time.
And right in the beginning, one of my first songs I ever played, I said, here's a hit from a new band down under, Need You Tonight by Inks.
No, you didn't.
I did. And the program director gets there when I'm leaving that day and goes, In Excess. I said,
How
Thanks.
Did you not know In Excess?
Well, it was 1984. They were new.
Yeah.
Actually, it was Mace, 1981. It was before
Mace, do you think that you can still hit the post?
Absolutely.
Right, go.
Hey, everybody, 93Q WRQN. It is sunny today. Everybody in a good mood. Friday is coming up for you. We are on Friday Eve. Thanks a lot for listening. Here is Huey Lewis and the News, Harder Rock and Roll on 93Q WRQN.
No, you're late.
No, you missed
Damn.
It.
Damn.
Ireland, can you do it? It's Power of Love. It's Power of Love. That's
right. Power of Love is a 28-second intro.
Okay, we
try
we'll
Ireland.
We'll find another song, and I'll try it later.
That one's a really hard
you guys
one.
Pick another song, and
yeah,
I'll try
hitting
it
the post.
It's not
was
fair
a big
now that I know
as a,
Mason
as a DJ.
Right.
So the big story, one of the interesting stories of the day, is that Mark Cuban apparently, and nobody really had noticed this, Mark Cuban had eliminated the national anthem at Dallas Mavericks games, and he made that decision back in November, and nobody noticed all year long so far in the season until yesterday, when a reporter asked him about it, and he said, basically, we've done, for all intents and purposes, he said, we've done away with the national anthem. That is no longer a part of our pregame ceremony. Do I have that mostly right?
You do. Although he made the decision in November, they didn't play a home game until January. Remember, they opened the season against the Lakers
right
at Staples Center on Christmas, or right before Christmas.
So it's been a minute since they've been playing the national anthem.
13 games it took people to notice, and last night somebody noticed.
And he was asked about it, and he said, it's a song that doesn't represent everybody, and there's no requirement to play
it before a game. Okay, you actually don't even need to paraphrase Cuban, because he just went on The Jump with Rachel Nichols.
Oh, nice.
And Jorge has it.
Good.
So, Jorge, play Rachel and Mark talking about his decision not to play the anthem for the first 13 games of the season.
Mark, take me through a little bit how you guys came to this decision and then what the conversations were in the past 24 hours that led to this morning, the release issued by the league overturning that.
Well, let me take you because there's a lot of misinformation out there. First, we're always talking to our community. I mean, that's something Stint stands for and is very insistent upon and has become a core part of who we are at the Dallas Mavericks. And in listening to the community, there were quite a few people that voiced their concerns or really their fears that the national anthem and did not fully represent them, that their voices were not being heard. And so we've had a lot of conversations about whether or not we should play the anthem. And so during the first preseason game, we decided to not play it and just see what the response was. Knowing that we were going to have ongoing conversations about it. We didn't make any decision to never play the national anthem. That wasn't the case at all. We didn't cancel the national anthem. We still had our flag flying proud and up on the wall at the American Airlines Center, and everybody had the opportunity to address it and pray to it or salute to it or however, whatever their feelings are. And we, as the games went by, honestly, we kept on talking about what we were going to do at some point. But obviously it came to the head when it was reported that at one of our games that we hadn't played it. But, the bottom line is we had always discussed the fact that we probably would end up playing it at some point, probably when fans came back, but there was never any final decision that had made that we would not play the anthem.
Interesting.
Then Mace today,
yeah.
The league, now this became a story last night.
Yep.
Cuban said no comment anytime he was asked about it. This morning, the league basically overruled him and said every team will play the anthem at every game. Here's Rachel asking Mark about that.
None really. I mean, I talked some to Adam and got his feedback and gave him my feedback that, we had people who were upset by it and were passionate in them being upset. And we had people that fully supported it. That, a lot of people said that they don't understand why, the anthem is played prior to a game. Others said, it shouldn't be played prior to a game. Others said it didn't represent them and they're concerned about being played and it made them uncomfortable. And we talked about all the different feedback that we had received.
And how did they come to the decision then that everybody would play the anthem, including the Mavericks? Did you have that conversation first before the press release went out, or did you learn from?
Basically, as I mentioned earlier, we had never decided that we weren't going to play the anthem when we had fans in.
Mm-hmm.
We had some fans in last game, but they were all healthcare workers and people we were honoring. They weren't our ticket holders or season ticket holders at all. So, we didn't know, that it would be brought to a head at this point. But it was an ongoing discussion in terms of when we would have our paying fans, our season ticket holders back in the arena that we would address it then.
So was this press release your first sort of information that, okay, this is going to be the policy now going forward league-wide?
You mean from the league? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, of course. I knew the press release was coming and we were in full agreement with it. Look, we have no problem playing the national anthem at all. I stand for the national anthem. My hand is always over my heart. We've supported the National Flag Foundation and done work with them. That isn't the issue at all. The real issue is how do you express the voices of those who feel the anthem doesn't represent them or causes them consternation?
And how do you do that going forward?
Well, that's why we have SINT. That's the programs that we're setting up with SINT. We listen, learn, we unite, we have courageous conversations, and we'll have many more of those, with our current players, with our former players, with key people in the community. We have DMAC, which are our organization of people from the community that we listen to on these issues. We don't do this in a vacuum. We make these decisions after having talked to and listening and making sure that, our goal is to have all voices heard, not just the loudest voices.
We were hoping to have SINT.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, when he talks about SINT, he's talking about Cynthia Marshall, who's the woman he hired basically to run the entire franchise. When they had that sexual harassment scandal
right.
two
they
years
her in.
Ago, he said, we're not paying enough attention to women around here. I'm going to bring in a strong woman to run the whole team. That's Cynthia Marshall, who he was making they call her Cint. That's who he was making reference to at the end of that answer.
Okay. So I actually agree with the league in this case. And here's why. I think going to a game is a ritual in certain ways. And in that ritual, we are so used to that moment of the national anthem. That moment when we all get quiet, the moment we all settle ourselves, the moment that no matter who we're rooting for in the game, we're all on this same national team. We are all Americans. It is a tradition. I think it brings us together. I think it unites us in a way that we don't have those moments elsewhere. That's the only place you hear a national anthem. And I feel like, again, it's a ritual, it's a tradition, and it should stand.
All right, a lot to unpack here.
By the way, 877-710-ESPN, if you want to jump in on this conversation.
I enjoy anthems at games. I like to hear the different versions of how you've performed anthems at games.
Yes,
you've been
I have.
Really good. It's something that I enjoy. I always stand at attention. I think it would be sad if that didn't happen anymore. Having said that, I'm not one of the people protesting. I'm not one of the people who took a knee in the bubble. I'm not one of the people that feels that they need to, not necessarily want to, but need to take a stand. In the case of the NBA, it was a stand behind police brutality and the fact that they wanted to support the Black Lives Matter movement. And I have a difficult time telling them that they can't do that. And so I think it lends itself to a bigger discussion. Mark Cuban, I who's a really smart guy, by the
yep.
way, I think he looked at this and said, okay, am I putting my team, which is predominantly African-American, in a bad spot?
Right.
Am I forcing them to stand at attention? And this is not saying anything you said was wrong. I thought everything
right.
you said was well articulated. But if my players don't want to do this, if they don't want to stand at attention, am I putting them in a bad light if they decide to take a knee or if they decide this America isn't their America and they exercise their right to protest in this way? Would it be smarter for me to take this issue off of their plate? So in that regard, I kind of understand why Mark did it. And I also understand why the league said, look, it's important to us. We want to try and work through this. Let's do an anthem. But I don't necessarily think that what Mark Cuban did was insane or ridiculous or wrong in any way. I understand that he might have had a method to his madness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does make sense. It does make sense. Now, for me, if you are a player or any American and you feel like this is not your America in some ways, that this America is broken in ways and you want to see it fixed, this is an opportunity for you to express your feelings. This is an opportunity to express that you think things need to change. What Cuban did was took away the opportunity for players to express that by taking a knee. And I don't know, have players been taking a knee in the NBA? They never show the anthems on TV. Have NBA players taken a knee during games? Because they in the NFL.
Right, but in some cases they've used it to join like in a circle with the other teams. At the beginning of the year, the referees even joined in the circle. They've used it to express themselves. Now, let me question something you said, though. You said Cuban, by removing the anthem, took away their opportunity to protest?
Yes.
I think you just got played there, my friend.
Do you think?
What's our lead story today?
National anthem.
Right. Would we have brought it up if Mark Cuban didn't do what he did?
No, but he did take
away
that platform.
But he's driving the conversation. Maybe he felt like taking a knee wasn't working anymore. Look at what
so
we're all talking
by
about.
Doing the wrong thing.
Did he do the wrong thing?
Doing a different thing, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Because the league says, no, you play the anthem.
Right.
So going counter, going against the grain.
What's the point of a protest, any protest?
Not to raise awareness.
No, to incite change.
Well, to incite change, yeah.
Yeah.
To raise awareness.
Look what everybody's talking about today. You think Rachel Nichols asked Mark Cuban to come in the jump if this wasn't a story? So you think Steve Mason and John Ireland in Los Angeles, the longest running show in Los Angeles? I think Mark Cuban's got everybody talking about what he wants people talking about.
So you think this was a long play? The Cuban did this in order to stir controversy at some future date?
No, I think he did it to stir controversy today on this date. Do you know when, by the way, the first game they sat out?
Mm.
January 6th. You know what else happened on January 6th?
The insurrection.
Right. So it got buried. By the way, Mace, we haven't brought this up yet. What does it say about this particular issue that they had done it for 13 games and nobody noticed?
Well, it's a little bit. We were talking about this. Actually, let's hold that. 877-710-ESPN. We'll sneak some of your calls in here. Momo is going to join us at 2 o'clock. And Tim Bontemps, who has written an early MVP race article for ESPN, is going to join us at 3 o'clock. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks a lot for being out there. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Rick Astley, strong man on the coast.
Never going to give you up.
Smacked!
Yeah, I actually this is embarrassing, I saw Rick Astley in concert once. We promoted it, 93QWRQN, we promoted a Rick Astley concert, so I was made to be excited about it, and there was a minute there where he was a big deal, and the opening act, and if you are from this area, it was a woman named Martika, a girl named Martika, was the opening act for Rick Astley. An embarrassing fact that I attended a Rick Astley concert.
Well, wait, he's a big deal again, right?
No.
Do you know, you don't know about being Rickrolled?
Oh, yeah, no, I know about being Rickrolled. I thought there was something beyond that. Yeah, there, people.
It was a thing like 5 years ago.
He just showed up at like a concert maybe 3 months ago, like right before the pandemic, so it wouldn't be three, probably a year ago. Yeah, people were like bringing him on stage to sing with him, like rappers were bringing him up.
Wow.
Like Kendrick Lamar and those guys. So he's kind of turned that into a bit.
So he's making a comeback.
Yeah, he turned it into a bit.
Yeah, I thought we had all given him up, but apparently we cannot. All right, so we're talking about the national anthem story with Mark Cuban, who started the year by not playing the national anthem at Dallas Mavericks games. It was finally noticed yesterday that he wasn't, and it was asked about it. And the league has since come out and said, nope, as NBA teams, we will play the national anthem before games.
And so let's see what some of you guys think about this, and then I have a thought about it. Here's Ted in listening all the way from New York, Mace, your old stomping
New York,
around.
New York.
Hey, Ted, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. It's Chad, not Ted.
All right, sorry. We are our board op has trouble spelling.
and you're in Syracuse, New York, right?
Yes, sir. I just want to say I feel like it's 2021. We should kind of get rid of it. I mean, it's not really doing a big deal if you played or not. I mean, no one knew about it until yesterday?
Right, which is kind of a point in itself that they skipped it for 13 games and then somebody noticed and now everybody's outraged, Chad.
I just want to say one more thing. I got like a big group chat, me, my friends, black friends, white friends, whatever. And we're all like, my white friends, whatever, are saying, yeah, get rid of it. Like, what's the big deal? And we just notice how it's just the older Caucasian men are like, keep it. It's like, for what?
So you think it breaks? You think it breaks along racial lines?
I mean, no. I mean, not really. But at the same time, let's be real, 2020 was crazy with the whole racial stuff.
Yes.
It's like, I hope the world gets, we all reunite and stuff, but does the national anthem really reunite us? I mean, we've seen it for 2 seconds. I mean, not really, 30 seconds, take off our hat, we've seen the song, and that's it.
All right, yeah, thanks, Chad.
I appreciate the call. I don't know the racial aspect of this. Like he said, it's breaking along racial lines, and older Caucasian men are the ones that are complaining. First of all, I'm not complaining. I don't think it was a gigantic story. It's an interesting story. It raises some issues. It raises some questions. I don't know, John, you said Mark Cuban probably did this for this exact reason. I'm not sure if that's right, but the conversation is good. It does spur the conversation. And I think especially now, with America divided along so many different lines, it feels like we can't agree on anything, whether there be one side or another side to every single issue, that it's nice to have that moment of reflection to remember, oh, yeah, this is America. We're all on the same side.
Here's Jason in Calabasas. Hey, Jason, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Steve? How you doing?
Everything's great, Jason.
So I want to say, Steve, I agree with you 100%. I've never heard it. That definition is the most perfect definition. We are ritualistic by nature as human beings. And I do see it as like a mental reset of you're about to sit down, you're about to enjoy this, as well as, you know, the honorary aspect of it. Honestly, I see a connection with the last caller as well. The majority of people that I know as a Caucasian, I don't know if Calabasas was a giveaway or not.
Hey, Keyshawn used to live in Calabasas.
Yeah, Key used to live there.
I live like 12 houses away from him. But
okay.
A story for another time. Honestly, the people that I see who have a real big problem with it are the ancestors of servicemen. My grandfather was in World War II. I stand for honorary reasons. But I don't have a problem with people not standing or not wanting to hear it or not wanting to, you know, acknowledge it. I believe it's a personal choice, and I see more of the ritualistic aspect of more than anything.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks
for
the call. Yeah. I mean, don't you think, John, we need, it is a moment of reflection. It is a stopping point. It's a moment where we all get together and have some sort of unanimous agreement about, regardless of our differences and regardless of what separates us, we're all in it together.
Here's another aspect of it. So there was a game where I was standing at attention during the anthem.
Yes.
And I looked over, and there was another member of the media, a famous member of the media.
Okay.
Who just sat there the whole time.
Interesting.
Didn't stand up, didn't acknowledge it, didn't. And I've thought.
Were they broadcasting?
Yes.
Okay.
No, they weren't on the air.
By the way,
here's another element to all this. When they sing anthems, we all cut away. Use it to sell commercials. But I thought less of that guy when he refused to stand for the anthem. And I don't know if I should. You know, it should be his right. If he wants to sit there and not acknowledge it, that's, you know, it's a free country.
Yeah, it's a free country. Now, for me, I always take my hat off, and I always, especially, you know, at Rams games or anywhere I go, if I'm wearing a hat, a ball cap, I always take my hat off, and I always hold it over my heart.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the game. I get bummed out when I see people not take their hats off. I actually...
Well, this was a step past that. This was a guy who literally just sat in his chair and didn't get up.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's some form of protest. I don't know if that's, hey, I'm busy, I've got other stuff, I'm tweeting, I'm on text,
yeah,
you know, all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I guess I do have a judgment about people who don't participate. And, by the way, I think kneeling is still participating in the national anthem. Like, I think the NFL players that took a knee during the national anthem over the last few years, it's a completely appropriate way to register your protest against police brutality.
You're pretty progressive. Not everybody, you know, how's that worked out for Colin Kaepernick?
I don't know. They did it this year, and it seemed to go okay, right? There wasn't any outside cry. Guys did it. and they protest. The guys did take a knee. I don't know if anybody did it during the Super Bowl or not, but during the regular season, I saw guys do it.
It'll be
and
interesting
it didn't
to, you
spark
know,
outrage.
We have a game tonight. Michael right. and I have a game tonight at Staples Center. And for this season, it was different in the bubble, but for this season, both teams have stood at attention for the anthem. I wonder if that'll change tonight, now that, Mark Cuban has put a spotlight on this issue.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's interesting. All right, coming up next for you, we'll do a little bit more of this, but I've got something cool. What exactly did Patrick Mahomes say to Tom Brady after the Super Bowl ended? I got that coming up for you. By the way, John, at 1:40, a brand new way to pick games that I have discovered.
Oh, no, you're in
a
last
brand
place.
New way.
I'm sure you want to, you know, change. I mean, you're normally not very good at this.
It's not exactly a system. It's based on an email I got. By the way, you can always email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. John, what's your email?
venicemace@gmail.com.
That is correct. All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. That's Foo Fighters, John. They are one of the nominees
they're
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they're a lock.
First-time nominee. I think they're absolutely in. Dave Grohl, genius. Genius by himself and with the band.
Yeah, Dave Grohl's already in, but the band will get in now.
Is that right? Dave Grohl is in by himself?
Yeah, no, from Nirvana,
he's in with
I think.
Nirvana.
Oh, with Nirvana, of course. Yeah. Some of the others, tell me what your initial reaction is. Mary J. Blige, queen of hip-hop soul.
Right on the bubble. Think she could get in.
Devo.
I like Devo. Maybe wait a year on them.
This because is their third time nominated.
This class is pretty strong.
Are the Monkees in?
The Monkees are not in.
Oh, I love the Monkees.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Does Devo have a song besides that Whip It song?
Was no, their, but you know hit? What? That Whip It song inspired sort of a whole era of that. I don't know what you would call that music. That funky,
punk rock,
weird punk rock. There you go. The Go-Go's.
Oh, I love the Go-Go's. They're not in?
I think, yeah, but I think they could get in.
They should be in.
I think they should be in.
Greatest
Belinda
girl band
Carlisle in her day.
Do you know, is there a limit to how many can go in?
I don't know the answer to that.
Because you're
going
to want to say yes to all these. Like Tina Turner and Carole King are in this class. They're both
Carole King
sure.
is in. Carole King is in.
Why did they call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when every genre of music gets in?
Well, what's an example of someone who's in that's not rock?
It's just, basically like the Music Hall of Fame
at
this point.
Just call it the Music Hall
of
Fame.
But, I mean, some of these, like Dionne Warwick.
You don't like
Dionne
her?
Dionne Warwick shouldn't be in the – I love her, but she shouldn't be in the Rock and Roll
really?
Hall of Fame, should she?
You don't think she's
Tina
a legend?
Turner is – Tina Turner's nominated. She should be in.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Rage Against the Machine should be in. This is their fourth nomination.
Is Dire Straits in?
Dire Straits is in.
Got
yes.
it.
Finally.
Yeah.
Chaka Khan. This is her fourth nomination.
Probably needs to wait because, again, there's so many good women in this class.
Earth, Wind, and Fire in?
Yeah, they're already in.
Oh, yeah.
They're in. Yeah, a lot of music from your era, Michael.
Hey, what about the Baja Men who let the dogs out? Are they in?
No, they're not.
They're in the Bahamian Hall of Fame.
That's true. Yeah.
Hey, not to get too off track, but Michael, there's a really good documentary about that song.
No.
It's called Who Let the Dogs Out.
Really?
It's amazing.
There's a documentary amazing. Just about that song?
But
yes,
we've got too many documentaries in this world.
By the way, Lindsay is a documentary junkie. She watches every single documentary. Like, she watched the Britney Spears one, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that one was fantastic. And
now, wait a minute.
All over the news the past couple
right.
days.
Now, why, I was going to ask you about that, Lindsay. Is it new? Is that why people, it's on Hulu,
yeah.
right?
When did yeah, it, yeah, it just
when
came
did
out
it
over the weekend.
Okay, so I'm going to watch it this weekend.
I don't get Hulu.
It's really... It's Mason. You can get the bundle for free. I sent you the link yesterday.
You know what? I have two of the three in the bundle. I've got Disney Plus. I've got ESPN Plus, and I can't figure out how to add the Hulu.
Why did you actually read the link she sent you, and then you'll get all
okay,
three?
Okay, I'll do it.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, I want to see the Britney Spears documentary. Apparently, Justin Timberlake comes off really bad.
Hey,
yeah,
boy.
People are wanting. They're calling for him to apologize because, I mean. If you look at it, there were two like teenagers coming up in the world, like probably the two biggest stars in the world at one point when they were dating.
Right.
And when he basically like slammed her when they broke up to help further his career, and she spiraled out of control and turned into a mess. And he just kind of laughed at her on his way up. And I think that's pretty sad.
All right. Well, we have to watch it. John, watch it over the weekend, and we'll find out.
Yes, I will have a full review on Monday.
Yeah. All right, so I mentioned this, and we'll do it right now, Michael. I think these NFL films specials are really good. There was one last night on NFL Network that showed some of the moment you could hear what the players were actually saying to each other. And I wanted to play, just because I think this is a cool moment, we saw Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes say a little something to each other. We saw Travis Kelce talk to Tom Brady after the game. And I wanted to play this because it's kind of cool and it feels really inside. Hit it, Jorge.
Hey, you're a legend, man.
Congrats, man.
You're amazing, man. Yeah, let's keep in touch.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
All right, big guy. I had a feeling you figured it out. Congratulations, big guy. That's you, big guy. That's you. Congrats on seven, man.
Congrats on seven, says Travis Kelce. And if you want to see the whole special, it's on NFL Network. It's very, very good, and it's got all the sound in it, everything that you can possibly hear. And what you hear, you know, I'm surprised that with those, they don't even have those big, clear sound getters anymore, do they? I don't see those anymore.
Microphones, big, clear sound getters?
Well, you know what I'm talking about when they're those big, clear, like half a sphere?
Yeah. Like
you know what I'm talking about.
They're directional microphones.
Okay, directional microphones. I don't hear during the game, even though there aren't as many people there, I don't hear as much as I would have thought without a crowd there. And I'd like to hear that. Like, they were talking, well, Tom Brady, or Tony Romo talks over everything. But I wanted to hear Tom Brady and actually calling out the plays, actually getting to the line and shouting out the plays. But you couldn't hear it because Tony Romo would not shut up. Tony Romo just loves the sound of his own voice and wants to predict exactly what Tom Brady's going to do instead of letting us hear Tom Brady actually say it.
Yeah, I love Tony Romo. And here's something interesting, though. You know how Mahomes just ran up and congratulated Brady after the game? Brady does not do that. When Brady loses, he runs straight to the locker room.
He does?
Really?
He does.
I never noticed that.
Oh, yeah, he does. And does that... Michael, when you lost, you won two of your NBA finals and you lost two.
Yeah.
Did you congratulate the other team when you lost?
No, we walked off the floor, but we saw the guys in the hallways afterwards and on the way out after we showered and stuff. Say congratulations, good job, or whatever.
But wait a minute, on the floor you would never say, hey, good game.
Not back in the 80s. They do it now. There's much more camaraderie, or to say, what do you call it, commiserating or, you know, mixing up. They do it now, of course, when guys clinch the finals. But back when we played, no, we just walk off and let the other team celebrate and see them afterwards, maybe in the bowels of the arena.
Do you think this week Kevin Garnett, I'm sure you saw this go around, Kevin Garnett says the guys from 20 years ago would not have been able to play in this NBA. What do you think?
I think it's the other way around. The guys
really?
That they complain about so much, a little bit of physical contact, because they're not used to it, they would adjust. I'm not saying they couldn't. They would, just like the old guys would adjust to the new style of bombing away threes. You're trying to tell me Reggie Miller, Mitch Richmond, talking about all the guys from the
70s. Yeah, but you're talking about shooters. What about Garnett? How would his game translate?
Oh, he be perfect because he's a big guy who can go outside and shoot. He'd easily translate to now. He'd be like shooting more threes today if he was playing. So, yeah.
He says, the game is at another level. I want you to get on court, sprint corner to corner, stop on a dime,
please,
and shoot a three. I want you to do it 10 times. Then I want you to focus on how tired you are because these players do that for 48
easy.
Minutes. I don't think guys from 20 years ago could play in this game 20 years ago, guys. And
come
he points
on.
Out that there was hand-checking 20 years.
Come
and
on.
I actually think the reverse. What would Steph Curry be like in a league where there was still hand-checking?
Yeah, of course. He wouldn't have the freedom of movement. Come on, that's an insult to people like Gary Payton and Byron Scott and all those great athletes who could play at any level. Come on, that's ridiculous.
We're trying to get KG on the show because he wrote this this book, and I know he at least part of the time lives in L.A. It'd be fascinating to talk to him. But this was the quote that went around this week that's interesting. I think it goes, first of all, I think this is fair. If those players, Michael, from that era were in this NBA, their games would be just as evolved as this year.
Right.
I mean, Kevin Garnett, we're talking about it. I mean, the other night, Al Horford had a really good night shooting threes.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Garnett would have been a really, really, really good version
he
of
Al Horford.
He did
it. He just didn't shoot as many threes. But he shot threes when I was at Minnesota calling games. Come on, that's ridiculous for him to say that.
Yeah. Yes, there are some players that are so good they could adjust to any period. Garnett's one of them. Anthony Davis is one. Yeah. Anthony Davis could play in any era.
LeBron, absolutely. All these greats could play in any era. All these good players. Caruso, they all could play in any era.
So, Michael, we were talking about this Mark Cuban decision.
He didn't play. I was listening on the way up. I got I got the perfect solution for it. I don't know why everybody don't listen to me.
Yeah,
I say keep playing the anthem, and any player who's uncomfortable, just stay in the locker room until it's over. What's wrong with that?
I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Exactly.
What about just taking a knee the way some guys have done in the NFL this year?
They have the right to do that, too, if they want to do. But obviously, they don't want to hear some of these. I guess some people don't want to hear the anthem, so stay in a locker room until it's over and you can come out. That's simple as that.
Michael, we're so split up as a country. We're so divided. Everybody's on this side or that side on every single issue. It just seems like that is one moment where we all stop and we take a moment to reflect on the bigger issues, the unifying effect of the anthem, I think is really, really powerful.
Yeah, when we were in China, they did not play the anthem over there. Of course, when the Lakers played over there and the Warriors and stuff, because, you know, Chinese, American and stuff, so they didn't play an anthem. And you think, okay, no anthem, and that's fine. It wasn't played over there. Of course, they play in international competitions when they play each other in whatever sport it is. But I just know that I like it. I appreciate hearing the anthem. I like John said, I like hearing the different anthem singers. I like what the song means to me. By the way, should they, since Cuban wants to get rid of the anthem, should get rid of the flag? Because a lot of people are uncomfortable with the flag too, right?
Well, what's interesting is, like, Mace, you owned movie theaters.
Yes.
Okay? That's a communal experience. That's a group of people sitting down to watch something collectively. But we don't play the anthem at movie theaters.
But that's just not traditional.
Right.
I mean, they've never played the anthem at movie theaters.
Okay, they
have played the anthem at sporting events since like 1912.
But not the Mavericks. The Mavericks didn't do it until Ross Perot Jr. bought the team. Donald Carter, the old owner, didn't want to do it, so they sang God Bless America before the games. Ross Perot Jr. bought the team in the 90s. He said, I want to play the anthem, and Cuban just picked up off of Ross Perot.
I played against Dallas in the 80s. They played the anthem.
They until 1994, when Donald Carter owned them, and Michael, that's when you were playing, they played God Bless America.
I remember the anthem in Dallas in the old Reunion Arena.
Yeah, they didn't. They played God Bless America.
What was I hearing things
when
I was standing there?
You were.
By the way,
a big article about it today.
And so they, if they sang God Bless America, that was another it's just a
different that song,
right?
Yeah,
it's
a
reasonable facsimile, I think people would say.
By the way, at the Super Bowl, did you see Alicia Keys do that song Lift Every Voice and Sing?
She is so
great. I think they filmed part of that at the Coliseum, but that's often referred to as the Black National Anthem. It's a hymn written as a poem by James Weldon Johnson and set to music by his brother J. Rosamond Johnson, the anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth in 1905. That is often referred to as the Black National Anthem. I think beautiful song. Lift Every Voice and Sing is a beautiful song. If somebody wanted to do that, I think that's totally a unifying experience as well.
Instead
but it's
of
about
the anthem?
That moment and stopping.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next for you, John, Michael, I found a new way to pick my games.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I think. You could say she's a whack job, but I got an email that is pretty entertaining, and I want to read it.
From Miss Cleo?
Michael, you are closer than you believe.
Really?
You are closer than you think.
Remember her? Also, what happened to her?
The Dodgers may have interest in a new utility outfielder. I'll tell you who that is coming up next for you. And Ramona Shelburne joins us at 2. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. I was trying to give people a little.
There's Devo.
I was trying to give people a little behind the scenes, what it looks like, what our rundown looks like, all that kind of stuff. But apparently that failed, according to Chris Morales. But
What's funny in this, though, is that you say that you always need to print it on two separate pages because it doesn't all fit on one, and now we know why, because you print it in landscape mode.
That is true. I did print it in landscape mode, yes.
I wouldn't even know how to print something in landscape mode.
Yeah, no, it's tricky, but I do it every day. All right, so let me see, throw out a couple of nuggets here. Yesterday, before I get to how I'm picking games, the Marlins, the Miami Marlins, added an outfielder named Adam Duvall as a free agent. They have got – that pushes a guy named Garrett Cooper out of a job. And immediately, Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald said the Dodgers are already inquiring about Cooper. So I'll tell you who he is. He's a young guy. He is, how old? He's 26 years old. Last year, batted .283 with 6 homers, 20 RBIs. He's a first baseman outfielder. The year before, .281 with 15 homers and 50 RBIs in 421 plate appearances. Now, if you look at the Dodgers, John, think about who can play outfield. Jock Peterson is gone. Kike Hernandez is gone. So the guys that they can play outfield are Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, A.J. Pollock, Corey Seager, and
well, Corey
Edwin
Seager
Rios.
Very rarely plays
I'm
outfield.
Sorry, not Corey. I meant Chris Taylor. Yeah. Corey Seager doesn't play outfield. So it's Chris Taylor, Edwin Rios, A.J. Pollock, Cody Bellinger, Mookie Betts. They've got room for a utility outfielder. They've got room for somebody to play that that Jock Peterson role. And this guy, Garrett Cooper, might be it. The Dodgers, again, talking to the Miami Marlins about acquiring Garrett Cooper, who is a first baseman outfielder, and he bats right-handed. And then they could use a right-handed bat. So maybe that's something we will follow. All right, so I want to throw this out there. You know I've had a rough go at gambling, and I've been betting real money in addition to mythical money. So you can always email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. And I got this email today, which is entertaining. So I'll just read it. Dear sweet spirit Steve Mason. I like the way that starts. I know that despite all the joking you do, I feel deeply that you have a spiritual side. My name is Dora, and I am a medium living in St. Louis.
A medium? Dora.
She's not an explorer. She's not an explorer.
Although I am tuned into that which is greater than me, I am also a Lakers fan, which is how I found your show.
Oh.
I am not a gambler, as you are.
Come on, Ireland.
I often cringe when I hear you wager, especially with real money. I prefer when you bet using your so-called mythical money. I do not exploit my gifts by advantaging myself. It would make the spirits cross if I were to make bets for myself. But I want to use my gifts to help you. As someone who knows, believe me, I know, do not bet any real money or mythical money on the Lakers tonight. They are overly favored. The sweet spirits have spoken. With deepest humility for all of my gifts, I wish you many blessings, Dora.
All right, now the question is, are you going to listen to Dora? Now, Michael and I aren't allowed to bet, even as a joke, anything NBA, but I did look at the spread, and it's Lakers by 11.5.
Yes. She doesn't say the Lakers are going to lose. She says the Lakers are overly favored.
Okay.
So I'm going with Dora. She's a medium.
Mm-hmm. And if
I'm
this works,
take a shot.
And
if this works, yeah. If the Lakers don't win by 12 tonight or 11.5,
yeah,
then Dora was right.
And if this works, will you consult her from now on?
I will. I have her email address. I will actually run everything. I mean, if she's right tonight,
yeah,
why wouldn't I?
That's right.
You know, if it works, it works.
Exactly.
Dora, the medium living in St. Louis. Mm. I like that she calls me a sweet spirit.
Don't you wish you... Now, did Dora think...
Isn't that... Wait a minute. Didn't she steal that from Kenny Kingston?
Kenny Kingston? Who's Kenny Kingston?
Isn't he the guy that uses the word sweet spirit all the time? We've had him on the show. Am I thinking of somebody else? Who's the medium... let me look it up.
Kenny Kingston.
Who uses sweet spirit? Maybe... Does Kreskin use sweet spirit?
Maybe Kreskin.
I'm gonna do a little research.
Well, she's clearly using it, but maybe she got it from somewhere else. I don't know.
You should ask Dora.
I'm Dora.
You should ask Dora if she knew that Super Bowl turned out the way she knew it was going to turn out.
I will email her back
and
ask her exactly that. Although it's easy afterwards to ask.
But if she's honest, she'll let you know.
Mace, Kenny Kingston is an American psychic. We've had him on the show. You obviously remember nothing about him.
I remember nothing.
My life
is a cloud of granddaddy purple OG.
He's no longer alive, but he used to say when we'd bring him on the show, "Hello, sweet spirits," and that was
interesting.
That was his line. He was considered the psychic to the stars due to his extreme contact with celebrities, We had him in studio once. I can't believe you don't remember it. Of course, you
I don't.
You
remember.
Yelled at me, but that one time you said, "We have never had Kim Kardashian on this show. I know it for a fact." And we've had her on like three times.
And then you played it. And then you played it, yeah.
But Mace, don't just make you wonder, if all these psychics had this insight, why aren't they billionaires? Wouldn't they know what stocks to buy?
She says, I do not exploit my gifts to advantage myself. Well, it would make the spirits cross.
She could do it for a family. Right.
Well, she's clearly doing it for me. Or she thinks she is. I mean, we'll see how much credibility she has.
Hey, be careful. Kenny Kingston used to charge $400 for a session.
This lady's giving out advice for free.
Be careful
so far.
When she hits you. She's going to see if she can prove you right. Like, if she's right tonight, then she's going to send you a bill.
How much are you going to bet on the Lakers tonight?
Nothing.
Why?
She says the Lakers are overly favored.
Well, so why don't you bet on the Thunder?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I can't.
Why?
I have a hard time betting on the Thunder.
It's mythical money.
I've never bet against the Lakers. That would be wrong.
Well, maybe win, but they just won't cover, right?
Yeah, that's what happened last game.
Okay. I will bet $1,000 on Oklahoma City plus the 11. And by the way, I found 12. Oklahoma City plus 12.
You get 12 then if you found 12.
Oh, God. That feels bad. That feels awful.
Now, you're doing real money or the stupid money?
Just stupid money. I'm not going to wager real money yet.
I'm gonna
check out this Dora.
Michael, have you ever bet real money on anything other than like the $1 you and I bet? Have you ever made a bet of significance with real money?
You mean like no other than what, playing for $5 a hole in golf?
I mean, not that. But have you ever bet $100 on something?
No.
You ever go to Vegas and gamble?
No. When I go to Vegas, I either stay in my room or I go downstairs to get something to eat.
Wait a minute, what? You go to Vegas and stay in your room? What is the point of
that? I'm not a gambler. I don't go to the shows. I don't go to clubs. So
then why go to Vegas? What's your purpose of
the
even
Lakers,
going?
When the Lakers would play there.
Oh, you're talking about during the open house or the opening
the season,
thing.
Yeah, for preseason games.
So you just
games.
Stay in your room?
Yeah, I just stay in my room. I mean, Vegas ain't for me. If I didn't have to go to Vegas, I would never go. That's just not my thing.
John, what's the largest bet you've ever had on the table?
One time I was on a run at a bike. It's not a lot. One time I was on a run on the blackjack table, and I bet $100, and I won. And it was like the fourth hand in a row I won. I said, let it ride. So there was 200 out there. And then I got two aces. So I split them. And so there was 400 out there. And I pushed. And I got nervous and took the 400 and left.
Right.
I'll never forget walking through the casino in the Bahamas at the Atlantis Hotel.
Yep.
And Charles Barkley was there playing, I guess, 21, blackjack. Yep. Anyway, I walked by. Hey, Michael, what are you doing? Come on. So I went over and talked to him, and he had a stack of chips. I would say about five stacks of chips about 4 or 5 inches high. And each of them were $10,000 a chip.
No way!
Yeah, he's talked about how he's lost $1 million in one session.
Yeah, I said, Charles, how you doing? I said, man, I'm 400 down. And he ain't talking about $400.
Yeah, you know, one time we were doing the show, and an actor named Kevin Pollak, he was great in The Usual Suspects, and he's still around, comic, he's great impressionist, he's really good. And he was walking into the studio, he was going to be a guest on the show, and he said, damn, I dropped a dime, or I lost a dime last night on some other game. And I was like, oh, a dime. And afterwards I asked somebody, a dime is $10,000.
Whoa.
He lost $10,000 on a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just could never do that. $10,000 on a game.
Could never do that. The only time I've ever bet big is when I'm at a poker table and I'm betting on people. I'm betting on with money that I've already won, like letting it ride.
Yeah.
So I probably have had $400 on the table once or twice.
Yeah, big spender.
Yeah, but once you've won money, if you're betting from the stuff you've already won, then it's really not your money in the first place, and you might as well go big. John, what's the most money you ever walked away from a table with?
Probably not even $1,000. Probably $700-$800.
Yeah, one time I got super hot. I was pulling flushes like crazy, and ended up probably cashing out $900. That's probably the most.
Nice.
But I love me a game of poker. You never invite me to your – well, I'll go to your poker game when it's in person. I don't want to do this online crap.
Yeah, and we're only doing it online. And I'm not even doing it during the Lakers season. I'm on hiatus until the Lakers season's over. They're still playing.
Once I get my two shots, I'll come to your poker game.
Got it.
All right. Coming up next for you, Momo is going to be with us. Michael Thompson's hanging out. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.